This meeting is being recorded.
Okay, so here we go. All right, here we go. We are right now involved in part two of our drama we're having with the New Vance Health and Sharon Hospital. Part one, of course, starts off with the birthing, and part two is the ICU, which they call transition, but it's basically an ICU closure, New Vance at Sharon Hospital. And joining us today once again, Victor Jermak. Victor, nice to speak to you today.
Nice to speak to you as well.
And we have joining us, if I can pull this down exactly right, is I don't have it down here. Hang on a second, Dr. Kirsch. So, yes. Dr. Kirsch, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure.
So, where do we want to begin? Well, I know that there was a couple of meetings held locally in the past week. The last one was in Millerton, New York, about the ICU closure. So let's talk a little bit about, first of all, your attitudes and what you think. I'll start off with you, Dr. Kirsch, talking from the medical as a doctor side. What's the most important thing that you see that's happening here?
Well, I think it's crucial to keep the critical care services that we need to keep people alive and functioning in our community and not rely upon transferring people to other hospitals. Right now, we can take care of most things here. Some complicated surgeries and heart attacks and stuff clearly have to go to a tertiary care center. But surgeries and heart failure and infections, pneumonias, COVID, stuff that we should be able to keep in the community should not be transferred out. And I'm afraid that if the ICU is closed, what's going to happen is we're going to lose the expertise of the doctors and nurses that are required to take care of those more complicated, seriously ill patients. The hospital alleges they can handle that in a PCU, but a PCU would be totally inadequate. It's an intermediate care service, not a comprehensive critical care service. So I'd hate to see those services lost.
Now, let me just ask you one other question before we get to Victor. I'm a layperson, so I don't really know much about this, but to me, it seems like they're transferring the ICU to, if you're in and you need intensive care, they're just going to transfer you right out. It's almost like a transfer portal.
Well, that's what they're going to do. They're going to have to transfer the more sickly patients to other facilities because we won't be able to handle them. They say they can put them upstairs on a medical surgical floor with medical surgical nurses, but that's not reasonable. It's like the argument they had with maternity. They're going to have the emergency room doctor deliver the babies, you know? It's just not feasible, and it's not safe.
Okay, so that's the first thing we talk about is safety. And now, Victor, we'll bring you in. And, of course, you've been a numbers guy. We've talked about this, both of you and me. We've talked about this months and months ago, first about birthing and now about the ICU. What do you see as things stand now, Victor, with what's happened with the state and also what's happened with these local meetings? Do things look better to keep these things here at Sharon Hospital, or are they still severely at risk?
Well, I think that they're still severely at risk. These decisions are up to the state. The state has not made a decision. The Office of Health Strategy, OHS, has not made a decision on maternity, and we're having our hearing next week on the ICU, and it still is very much up in the air. And so let's back up a little bit, if we may. So what the hospital, New Vance, is claiming is that they're losing a lot of money. But as we pointed out, and you know, you got to take the ICU and the maternity issues sort of together, in a way, because they're claiming they're losing a lot of money. And so they show us financials. But the problem with these financials that they show us is they're not audited financials. And we don't know what the allocations or overhead charges are from corporate to Sharon Hospital. So, you know, there's a lack of transparency in the way they do the financial presentations. So what happened was about 2.5-3 years ago, they hired some consultants, and these consultants said, this is what you got to do. You got to get rid of maternity. You got to put in a PCU, progressive care unit, get rid of the ICU, and then do a bunch of other things. Well, the hospital had already been outsourcing the lab work to other facilities. And that was costing a revenue loss of $1 million a year to Sharon Hospital. And then in addition, a lot of the procedures that people would go into Sharon Hospital, and the Sharon Hospital doctors would then refer them to Vassar and to Danbury, and we were losing an estimated $5 million a year in procedures. Well, Nuvance doesn't take account of that. They just complain that we're losing money. Well, but they're losing money because of their own policies. Now, let me give you another point. They're transferring right now, over the past 4 years, they've transferred over 738 patients. That's a lot of patients from Sharon Hospital's emergency department, and some of those could be treated in the ICU, but they've held the staff down. In other words, we used to have a big staff there. They reduced the staff. And so it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. They reduce the staff and they say, well, you guys can't handle it. So we got to transfer the patients. Well, where do they transfer the patients to? They transfer the patients. Over 50% of the transfers from the emergency room are to Nuvance hospitals. And the worst part is the closest hospital, which is Charlotte Hungerford, is closest to the community, okay? They only get 2.8% of all the transfers. So it's a deliberate policy to maximize revenue, and network optimization is what the consultants called it. So they put these patients in Nuvance beds, but not Sharon Hospital beds. So they complain about they're losing money. And the odd thing is, I'll just finish up. The odd thing is with this, Marshall, is that the state asked them to project the costs or the revenue of this new policy of closing the ICU. And what did they put down? They're gonna lose money. Over $100,000 a year. By reducing this service at in the emergency room, in the ICU, by replacing it with a PCU. Now, why, if you're in tough financial shape, so-called and claimed by Nuvance, would you lose more money with a new policy like that? It makes no sense, does it?
Well, it seems to me like they want to set the standard to really bring Sharon Hospital down to merely nothing. Actually, it looks like they're planning to phase out almost all those activities.
It does seem the same way to us. We draw the same conclusion. And the worst part is, those people that are on Medicaid, those people that are below the poverty line, those people that don't have insurance, they're the ones hurt most of all, because if you're transferred 1 hour and 15 minutes to Danbury Hospital, for the sake of argument, and not to Charlotte Hungerford, you got to get down there. How are you going to visit your family? A lot of these people are not exactly in the chips. They're in tough shape. So from a question of equity, it's not very fair.
You're exactly right. I think about that. I think about that all the time, that if I was called in to intensive care at Sharon Hospital and my friends and family wanted to visit me, instead of taking a 5-minute drive or a 15-minute drive to see me, they'd have to take a good hour one way and an hour back to get there. And we all know that one thing that's really helpful when somebody's in a critical stage health-wise, being around people that are family and friends really puts people at ease.
It's the warmth and care that can come from your friends and your family can't be underestimated. And for them to ignore that, to literally be transferring hundreds of patients, most people don't realize, and frankly, I didn't realize it either. These are not volunteer ambulances, the no-cost volunteer ambulances. If you get to Sharon Hospital and they stabilize you and you're in a serious situation, they stabilize you, you got to then take another ambulance to one of these other hospitals. And you got to pay for that. Whether your insurance pays for it or you got to pay for it out of your own pocket. And if you're of limited means, you might have real difficulty doing that.
And sometimes it takes 5 or 6 hours to get an ambulance to get you to another hospital if they're busy.
I was just going to jump in here, Dr. Kirsch, in that I had to take an ambulance to Hartford Hospital to get a procedure done. I figured I'd just get it from Sharon Ambulance or Salisbury. No, they're not allowed to do that. I had to get a paid ambulance. And then when I was checking out of the hospital after I had the procedure done, I had to get Aetna out of Hartford. And we put the call in at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And by the time I was leaving, it was 7 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm. I have that same problem. People get transferred from a hospital in Hartford to a nursing home, and you go there to see the patient at 2 o'clock because they say they're going to be arriving at 2 o'clock, and they don't get there till 7 o'clock, just like your situation. And yes. What about helicopter transfer? I had a patient whose wife had a stroke in Sharon, in Millbrook. She came to Sharon by community ambulance, and then they had to be transferred to Vassar. The ambulance bill was $85,000. I mean, that helicopter bill was $85,000. Medicare approved $7,000. And they paid $5,500, and the patient was stuck for $1,500. His insurance wouldn't cover the copay. So the ambulance transports and airplane transports or helicopter transports are very expensive. And they do about 3 helicopter transports a month from Sharon Hospital and hundreds of ambulance transports a year.
And Dr. Kirsch, once again, speaking to you about this, do you see any way that if Sharon Hospital manages to hold on to these services, and Victor, I'll have you chime in this after I speak to David. If Sharon Hospital and the state agrees with Save Sharon Hospital, and the hospital gets to keep these services, do you see any way that the hospital itself can continue the services and make funds, or is New Vance going to once again try to get in the way of that and lower the possibility of those funds? I mean, it's a big question of how Sharon Hospital will survive after that, because according to what you said, Victor, is that there was a lot of money that was just taken out of Sharon Hospital. Will that money actually stay in the hospital and help it thrive to help the local people, Dr. Kirsch?
Yeah, our group has tried to communicate with New Vance's management, but we've hit a stone wall. They've got their plan set in their mind, and they don't want anybody else to get in the way. But I think if they could open up their books, be cooperative, the community here is enthusiastic about finding a solution. And I think there's some federal and state programs that would be useful. And I think there's a lot of wealthy people around here that we can get some fundraising. And I think we estimate there's probably a $3 to $5 million deficit a year. We could probably surpass that if we needed to. But again, we have to have communication and cooperation. And whether New Vance is going to do that or not, I don't know. Hopefully they will.
Well, it's a sticky situation. So have you both been to these meetings, and does it look like the state is looking seriously at Sharon Hospital's side of it?
I was encouraged after the meeting on December 6th about the maternity. I thought the way they asked questions and how they pursued New Vance, that they were favoring us. Again, it's a quasi-independent agency, and in spite of the political pressures and the community pressures, you don't know exactly which way they're going to go. But I'm hopeful, at least in that, for the maternity unit.
I was also hopeful. They followed up on a number of the financial questions and points that we had raised, that I had raised in my testimony. And the answers they got, interestingly, in the follow-up testimony from Sharon Hospital, weren't really very responsive. So if OHS really reads the responses and digs into this, I think we have a fighting chance, a good chance. But again, you know, I mean, this is a hospital that's pleading poverty. And obviously you know, they're listening to them, but we're trying to point out the fallacies in the numbers, the fallacy in their thinking, and the fact that it's what they've been doing to the hospital is really self-defeating. And this is not the right way to maintain and keep this 109-year-old hospital. You know, just to turn it in appears that they want to turn it into a super clinic, you know, that just basically refers to other New Vance hospitals. And that's not what the community wants.
The community doesn't want a pass-through facility. They really don't.
They want a hospital, the same hospital that we had. And you know, the irony of all this is when this hospital was bought back in 2018, New Vance saw the numbers. They knew this hospital was a marginal hospital from a financial point of view. But they had all these plans, you know, hiring more primary care physicians, doing this. But services have been eliminated, and they didn't really hire any more primary care physicians. I think on their plans, they told OHS they were going to hire 4 more. Dr. Kirsch, what did they hire? 1 more?
Well, they've lost 5 and hired 1, so they're still down 1, down 4.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's that sort of a kind of game that they're playing. I use that word somewhat hesitantly, but I mean, that's basically what they've been doing. So, I mean, what conclusions can one draw?
Over the last 10 years, and particularly in the last 5 years, you know, lab tests are down, outpatient procedures are down, inpatient surgeries are down, hospital days are down, lab tests are down substantially. All these are down like 25-30%. And whose fault is that? That's their fault. They've been managing this hospital. 12 years ago, the hospital was pretty much breaking even with a little bit of deficit. Some fundraising would fix the deficit. But it's now all these numbers are out of control because of the way it's been managed. And I agree with Victor. I think that the New Vance's plans for the hospital to turn it into another New Milford, which just has an emergency room, small inpatient service, but nobody there with critical care skills, no critical care unit, and no surgery after hours. And the community here doesn't need that and doesn't deserve that.
The other thing that New Milford has that we don't have is we are a truly rural hospital. New Milford has a 4-lane highway down to Danbury. What are they, 20 minutes away? So, you know, we're not comparable. Every time they talk about, well, you know, they did it at New Milford, really doesn't hold a candle of comparison.
Well, once again, the state will have their first public hearing on this in the next week, I think, right?
That is correct. Yes. It's going to be next Wednesday, the 15th, right, David?
That's correct.
And we urge everyone to go to the Save Sharon Hospital website. We urge them to do public comment. It starts at 3:00 in the afternoon. Sign up at 2:00, and you can find the links on the Save Sharon Hospital website. We've been running ads in the Lakeville Journal, so you can find that out and see that as well. So we urge everyone, the public, to come out, because one of the things we have noticed, we got a tremendous turnout and response in opposition to closing the maternity. And the state listens to that because, I mean, after all, at the heart of all this, we're all patients and we're in the community, we're taxpayers. So they have to listen to us. So that's what we're expecting. We want some good community turnout and some very good response so that people can indicate that they're against this.
I think another important point is the hospital says they can provide the same services with a PCU as an ICU, and that's totally bogus. In an ICU, the nursing to patient ratio is 2 patients to 1 nurse. In intermediate care or PCU, it's supposed to be 4-1. They propose 4.5 patients to 1 nurse. The nurses in a PCU don't have the same clinical skills as an ICU nurse. The PCU that they propose don't have the same monitoring capabilities, the same layout as an ICU. It's just totally not going to work. You're not going to provide the same services as they allege. They're giving us the bogus information, as I say.
Well, I want to thank you both for joining us today. And once again, savesharonhospital.org is the website you can get all this information off of. And once again, Victor and David, thanks for taking a few minutes and joining us today.
Our pleasure. Well, thank you very much for your time and for your interest. Thank you, sir.
Follow us again.